from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
You know, it occurs to me just before we start the show, it occurs to me that I think that a lot of people that pay for the bonus shows don't actually know how to get them. I receive an email every once in a while saying like, oh, I paid for the show. I still haven't figured out how to get it. Man, we suck sometimes, don't we?
Oh, yeah. It's really amazing the amount of crap that people put up with as far as everything that we do. And we really appreciate that everybody understands that we suck and put so much patience into the fact that yes, we do suck. We're working on sucking less. But it is hard.
It's a process. It's a process.
And we do suck. We do suck. What can we say? We suck.
Oh, we suck bad. We suck so much.
Now, last time, speaking of sucking, Ryan was the... If you were listening to the show, the last free show that we put up, there was kind of 3 minutes at the end of the podcast that was just basically me and Ryan talking about both business and our weird fucked up dreams involving ladies. Mine being more fucked up, yours sounding more awesome, I guess. What was your dream again?
I was having sex with Andy McDowell and it was Groundhog Day era Andy McDowell, so it was all right.
So not the super white saturated face, still trying to sell anti wrinkle cream, even though she looks like a leather glove in the sunlight.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, I got the good.
No,
I got
disrespect
the good
to Andy McDowell. I don't know how you can like her. She is She has no personality, man.
Wow. I would duel you, sir, for saying that.
For besmirching your love? Is this it?
Yep.
This will end us. You besmirched my Andy McDowell.
A rift has grown between us.
Well, we need to seal that rift. Anyways, so yeah, there was a few minutes. That's on Ryan.
Yeah, that's my bad. I was in charge of doing that, and sometimes just like I'm in charge of recording radio shows and I forget to hit record, sometimes things go a little bit wrong. But in my defense, it was one of those days where I got up at like 8 a.m. and I worked until like 10 p.m. So I was
so let me
crazy.
Let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. So the answer is that you were working as hard as some people out there actually have to work on an almost daily basis. Is this what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
You see, there's the reason. People, you can't let us work that hard. You just can't let that happen.
Look at it like this. And I'm going to throw this out there because, and it's a defensive view to a certain degree, Mr. Can't Spell sometimes, is that other people, when they fuck up, it's not as visible as when we fuck up.
So, it's true. It's bad.
So it's like, yeah, I forgot to clip out the last 3 minutes of the radio show after removing, you know, all the Skype silences and a whole bunch of dogs barking and all sorts of other crazy things that I generally removed so that people wouldn't hear. I left some of it in just to keep the flow of the radio show. But
I suppose some of them were impossible to remove, right?
It was generally fine. I've gotten pretty good at it, you know. I've done some Skype radio shows with people who are a little bit slow to begin with. So I figured out the visual cues for how to get rid of all the gaps. So I've gotten good at it. But yeah, it was just one of those minor visual things that people see, and it's just everything we do, you see it. Warts and all.
When we make a mistake, but you know, that's what's going to be so fun of making, going back in the shows, because this is something that I was thinking of doing, going back to the shows and just trying to put commentary on some of the older shows that we did. And it's, I know it's going to be really painful to listen to some of those old ones, especially when you're like, oh, why did I say that?
There's nothing worse than listening to an old radio show and hearing wrong, stupid crap coming out of your mouth.
It is painful. And I know that a lot of people that are always out there saying, like, oh, when you get a detail wrong, we just want to cringe. And I'm like, well, I get that same feeling too, except for doubly worse because thousands of people have heard me say it.
Yeah.
So it just happens. It happens. I almost feel some degree of sympathy for guys like Rush Limbaugh, except for Rush doesn't care. he doesn't care.
Plus, he's a vile human being.
Yeah,
and it's like, the thing that the things he says, it's all out of hate. This is all good fun for us. Although I suppose technically we do hate religion.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I always have to deal with the fact that I go around throwing the label intolerance to other people, even though technically you could just say, well, aren't you being intolerant? And I would say, well, I am not laying down, but I'm definitely not going to take the actions of the people that I'm accusing of, as in I'm not going to hide crimes or pedophiles. I'm not going to, sort of condone death threats against people that insult someone's religion and so on and so forth. I'm not going to do those things. So I have my limit. I find that that's the limit of tolerance. I am at that limit of tolerance. I don't know if that necessarily qualifies me as intolerant, but perhaps it could.
Well, I mean, I find there is a lot of atheistic intolerance, and to a degree, I mean, let's take a look at this. Let's talk quickly about the UK elections again, because we know we got a lot of listeners, and I'm sure you'll cringe a lot because, hey, we're getting North American news about your election. But one thing that I found out recently was that Nick Clegg, who is a Liberal Democrat, they're like a fruity third party. They would be the equivalent.
Are they like
of,
the NDP in Canada?
They would be Canada's NDP, except they're led by a guy named Nick Clegg, who's doing really well for the party, and he's turned it into a three party race when before it was basically a two party race. And it turns out that
that is exciting.
Yeah,
an atheist with like who just basically says that he'll raise his kids Catholic because his wife is Catholic.
But here's the interesting thing, though. This is where I want to point out to people. Are you, good sir, imposing a purity test on Nick Clegg? Are you not impressed enough at the fact that a guy who is vying for the position of Prime Minister of UK is openly atheist because of the fact that he respects his Catholic wife and allows his children to be raised as Catholic? Is that not good enough for you?
The only reason why I think he said any of the stuff that he said, despite, you know, like, I'll admit, I'm not really that educated. I'm getting third party shit right now, maybe even fourth party. But just the impression that I got is just more to me like religious pandering. It's the same way that in the U.S., the Obama administration is trying to defend the National Day of Prayer, because as far as they see it, if they look like they're too secular, then people lose their fucking minds. So you have to always cater to these fucking people. And that's really the problem. This is what I hate about religion. I have to cater to them. I have to cater to their irrational bullshit and then say that, oh, yes, but I really respect what you believe. The truth is I don't respect what they believe. I have no respect for anybody that thinks that if they put a cracker in their fucking mouths, it's literally the body of someone who has been deceased, and that wine turns into blood, or any of the other countless, and I say countless, beliefs that are absolutely and utterly irrational, stupid, and flat out wrong. It is for me kind of a respect thing of saying, like, well, why did you have to include this part as though you are pandering, as though you're saying, oh, well, I don't believe, but I'm still going to raise them according to these values because they're important. That's bullshit. That's a lie. If it was important, why doesn't he believe? It's a better question.
I don't know, because at this point I do find, and I'm going to throw that word out there again, purity test, because I think it's really important that too many people take a look at somebody's religious beliefs as a purity test of them as a person. I know lots of religious people who are totally cool and awesome, and I don't lose any respect for them because of their religious beliefs. Even though I think that religious beliefs are stupid, I can have that dichotomy of saying, yes, I think religious belief is stupid. I don't think you're stupid for believing in religion, because there's a lot of atheist topics as well that people believe, but they haven't really thought through. And just because somebody hasn't taken the time to think through something to the level that we have, I'm not gonna call them idiots, is basically the way I put it.
Look, my only thing was that I just felt it was more pandering. just more pandering to it. And I'm saying, if you're going to just go ahead and say no, you just shouldn't have to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, it's really important in my, because it's a political reason.
Well,
it's a political reason. Yeah. So it's kind of like saying, like, yes, I'm an atheist, but this is all really important, and I'm going to follow these values, and this is what I'm fighting for. I'm like, are these the same values as a Roman Catholic that believes that gay people are an abomination? I'm really not sure here what values you're transferring over from your religion. And to just make a statement like that has some fucking, you know, intellectual consequences. What is it that he believes, really?
Keep in mind the fact that the article that I sent you telling you that Clegg is an atheist was written by a right-wing newspaper that's basically trying to crush him right now, and they're using it as a divisive issue to try and it's funny because it doesn't just smear him on the religious side by saying, hey, you're a fake panderer to religion on the religious side, but it makes the atheists think the same thing. And I don't see an inherent disagreement between the idea of a person saying, I'm an atheist, my wife is Catholic, my kids are going to be getting raised Catholic, and I am pushing Catholic belief. Because yes, according to atheists, Catholics or the Catholic faith is corrupt to the bone and it's bullshit. But as far as Catholics are concerned, they don't look at the bad stuff. When you say I believe in Catholic values, they don't. They think about all the good things, and that's what he's basically trying to say: is that look, just because I'm an atheist doesn't mean I'm a fucking monster. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be pushing for all of the positive things that Catholic people push.
So what? A guy that's not going to win comes out. What a surprise! Is he going to win?
You know, I mean, what I heard about the third debate is that he's losing some steam, but there's a good chance that it's going to turn from basically a two-party system with some fluff around the edges to a legitimate three-party system with whoever's going to be in power possibly needing the Lib Dems to create a coalition.
Here's my general issue, and I'm going to use actually Tony Blair as an example. I can't believe I'm actually doing this. But before the whole Iraq thing or whatever, it was generally thought and assumed by everybody that Tony Blair just, you know, and his religious beliefs, forget about it, doesn't fucking believe in it. This was generally the consensus. Now, that's not been his position now. Like, he used, like any clever politician, I don't believe that a guy like Tony Blair believes in religion, even though he goes ahead and creates a interfaith bullshit organization, and it's just more of that pandering. You know, it's like kissing babies. Instead, you wave around a fucking cross. Oh, look, I'm the pious one, and that's all I feel. I feel like you can't be honest about the fact that you're like, no, I generally assume religion is silly. Can we just talk about something else? And nobody has the balls to say that yet. And until that fucking happens, oh, good on you for actually having to answer a question honestly when a person says, do you believe in God, and saying no. But I'm not going to also pat him on the back of saying, like, you know, pandering is all good. I don't actually think that pandering is all good. I am of the opinion, unfortunately of the opinion, that pandering is exactly the fucking problem. That we pander to fucking Muslim extremists with their death threats, like we pander to Catholics who don't want us to arrest the Pope for obviously creating a sanctuary for pederasts.
I just figure that it's unfortunate because I've been doing a lot of reading up on new atheism, and I'm starting to understand the concept that new atheism is different from quote unquote old atheism, or what I'd like to just call moderate atheism, which is basically, I don't believe in God, but you're not stupid for believing in God. Because new atheism is, I don't believe in God, and you're an idiot for thinking he exists. So I'm starting to understand the difference, and I can understand how a moderate atheist like Nick Clegg can have his position, and you can label it pandering, and I can agree from your point of view. I could see why you think it's that. I can understand, because I was there before too. You know, I mean, I realize, I'm sure if we went back through the radio shows, I went from moderate to more radical as I learned more and more about how retarded religion is and all the misery it causes. But, you know, a lot of us start off as moderates, and you got to put yourself back in that position and understand that it's not always pandering. It's not two-faced. It's not a lie. It just has to do with the fact that you're not that deep into it. And I can understand that.
Think about it from another perspective, too. The people that listen to our shows, the people that are really trying to throw off the shackles of religion, because that's really what the truth of the situation is, that many people are still shackled by it. Shackled so much that you're just like, no one has done anything about pedophiles and the people that supported them. Nothing is being done about that. And really think about the consequences of it. Think about what that means. I don't think a lot of people do. It's like, really think about that and also realize that, you know, most of the people that listen to our show, most of the fucking people that pay for this shit are the ones that really, it's still just enough of an issue that to even pander to that nonsense perpetuates the kind of problem, discrimination, and terror that they face. Because we don't only have fans in places like the Bible Belt. In America, we also have it in places where, you know, it's not necessarily very legal to believe that there is no God, and there are serious consequences to those actions. You know, chop chop.
No, I can understand, but at the same time, I won't pander to our hardcore atheist fans as well by portraying every situation as a black and white, and that's what I'm talking about when it comes to a purity test.
Again, like I said, if you're to ask me, like, oh, look, he's saying that he's an atheist. Yeah, he's saying he's an atheist with a gigantic fucking asterisk after saying, well, I'm really just fighting for Catholic values. So, you know, what I'm saying here is, oh, good on you for taking the worst part, I guess. So, yay.
Nah, I understand it completely as a political answer that makes sense if you don't look at it in the most negative terms, because you're saying, oh, well, he's fighting for the Catholic Church to molest children. I'm like, no, obviously what he meant is, I'm an atheist, my family is Catholic, so I obviously understand what you consider Catholic values to be, and yes, an
no, my crazy bitch of a wife who is indoctrinating my children believes in this nonsense.
Okay,
that's really what the conversation for me more is that, like, his and I've seen many men like this. You have a crazy bitch of a wife, she's spewing nonsense, and you have no choice but to put up with it because you signed the fucking contract, and she's going to drag you down, boy. You're going to pay for the rest of your life, and you're not even going to live in your own house. You're going to live in an apartment while you're still paying for that house. So, wow. Yeah, I could understand him being controlled that way. You don't think that's how it plays out a lot, man? You are insane. Do you know how many messages I get from guys that are saying, like, wow, I had a fucking two-hour argument because my wife doesn't believe in evolution, and it is driving me insane, and she's teaching this to my children. But I got to shut my mouth because otherwise I'm going to have a most miserable life. That is the fucking honest truth about some of our own members, man. Imagine all the ones that are like that right now that never even listened to the show. Trust me, there are many.
I try to look at the bright spots more, like, you know, the teenagers that are getting a lot of anal sex because their girlfriends think that's okay with God.
Yeah, you're a rainbows kind of guy. I'm a like a rainy day. You know, you look at the rainbow side. You're like, well, there's more anal and oral sex because of conservative Christianity. I guess if you're into those two things, then you'd be happy about that. Maybe, or also kind of mad that STD rates keep going up.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, not a coincidence.
Okay, well, I feel like we pulled the Nick Clegg thing apart. That was kind of fun. I feel
political, like British political.
Well, I mean, it's fun because it's interesting. I mean, obviously, even Americans listening to this show must be like, wow, for all of your hardline attitude, I think a lot of listeners are probably like, wow, there's a guy in the UK who's running for the position of prime minister who out and said, I'm an atheist. And that's, you won't find that in America. You find in America people saying that the earth is 6,000 years old, and so they win.
They win. Well, you know, here's something I wasn't going to mention necessarily because you hadn't seen the video, and I didn't want to sandbag you with something you didn't see. But this is stuff you're familiar with all the time, so I'm sure it won't be too bad. There was this video circulating around of you know who Ken Ham is?
Ken Ham.
He's the guy from Answers in Genesis. He has the Creation Museum in Kansas.
Oh, yes, yes. He was in Religulous a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He's that weird Aussie guy with the Lincoln beard.
So many crazy Australia. I mean, Australia has so many great atheist people. Like if there's a good YouTube video out there, 70% of the chance time, it's an Australian that made it. But there are also some crazy Australian religious people, too.
Well, it's not a fucking coincidence, dude. You always go to the places that have the most issues with religion to find where there's going to be the most fans of stuff that we do. Because we're the atheist jerks, you know? Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there in frustration. And like I said before, this is a great podcast to listen to when you work out. Because I'm sure there are times where you're like, motherfucking Pope! And you push it just a little extra. Just to fuck him and his whole thing. So it definitely plays into that shit. So we do have a lot of fans in Australia, and in fact, hopefully next year we're going to be able to make it to Melbourne for the Atheist Convention. I guess that remains to be seen, but that's my hope. Like, Australia is on the list of places that we absolutely need to visit, because we got so many, not just fans, but people that are that really kind of, like, you know, they communicate with us. They absorb everything that we fucking put out there. They are the crazies, right? They're down under. And we're going to have to go there, especially considering the fact that in their country, my birthday is in summer rather than winter. So you can all guess what I want to do about that.
Yeah.
But anyways, Ken Ham.
All night and party
exactly.
Every day.
So Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, guys. He's got a video out of him sort of just indoctrinating a bunch of kids and, you know, doing the regular spiel, like saying the earth is 6,000 years old or whatever his fucking nonsense is. Now, the reason it made the rounds is everybody was like, oh, this is outrageous and this is crazy and it's indoctrinating kids. Now, the point that I want to make, and this has been in my mind all fucking day, is the fact that I don't actually see guys like Ken Ham as being part of the problem. He is a small part. I'm not going to deny that. But if you look at the statistics of who doesn't believe in evolution, 39% don't believe. And I don't actually think you're going to change most of these people's minds. They're like Ken Ham. They know that evolution conflicts with their religious dogma. And they've stuck to the dogma. And in a weird kind of way, I can kind of respect that. It's like, yeah, go for the dogma, bitch, if you're going to go. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you have 36% of people that are like, I don't know. And this is what I feel is the real influence of creationism in American society, where that number, the I don't know number, could be so large. And you're noticing that those things are actually a consequences of not fuckers like Ken Ham, but rather people like, the Texas School Board of Education, Dover, Pennsylvania Board of Education, these small places that are undermining evolution in classrooms, and they're just throwing out the textbook. So we can't even reach.
Even every single article in the newspaper, in the in magazines, on television, that gives, because one of the big problems with journalism right now is that they've kind of they basically try to be even.
Too objective,
They try and show both sides, give equal time to both sides of the equation. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of the time, the other side of the equation really doesn't deserve it. And I was reading something about Obama being born not in America. And it was interesting because one newspaper said, you know, this crazy person had a gun and he was going to do something and he was arrested. And the reason he was angry was because he believed. And then in the article it said, in brackets, incorrectly, that Obama was not born in America. And I'm like, that's all a newspaper has to say is the facts, is that if somebody has a stupid belief, don't just fucking, you can explain it and lay it out. But at the end, if you're going to sit on the fence, you are doing nobody any service whatsoever.
Well, let me ask you, let me put this out there. Imagine that we're 1946, right? The war has ended, and now the question of what has happened to 6 million Jews is put on the table. And you have different camps, let's say. One side is saying that they were, you know, that they were shipped and summarily executed in gas chambers and through firing and through all the kind of gruesome methods. This other side says that this never occurred and really that the numbers are exaggerated. Okay, those two sides do conflict, and there's going to be a side that's right and a side that's fucking wrong. You don't just present the fucking two sides equally and then say, well, it's up to the audience to decide, did the Holocaust happen? Because when it comes to situations like that, something has to be true and something has to be false. I think it's weird that this perception of objectivity blinds people to the fact that you're just now you're giving it as much credence. You're essentially saying, well, they're just as right as the side that they're arguing against. And that's what's called a false dichotomy. And a false dichotomy is when you say, well, it's either A or B, and those two things are equal. And you're just like, it's not like either God exists and created the universe, or there is no God. And those two possibilities are not 50-50. You know, you have to look at the facts to determine which one is probably more correct. And if you don't do that and you masquerade it as journalistic integrity, then you're not doing your fucking job. And that's what we see all the time. But that's a different thing altogether. What I was trying to say with the whole Ken Ham thing, though, is that the reason why these things are happening locally is because if there's one thing that dogmatic robots are really fucking good at doing, it's organizing themselves. And we don't really have, we're not really good at that. You know, the non-religious counterparts, what did we say before? That it's like herding fucking cats? I mean, it's getting somewhat better, but it is nowhere near as sophisticated as these groups who have a particular agenda in mind. They recognize that evolution interferes with their dogmatic beliefs, and what is their solution? To undermine that which conflicts with their beliefs. And we are the ones that actually have to take some responsibilities to organize ourselves and to fight against that. And it's not just guys like Ken Ham. They are just, you know, like, they properly recognize and display the fact that they think that evolution interferes with their beliefs, and they put it out there. You know, I actually kind of almost respect that, where they're being honest. But guys like Ben Stein and this intelligent design bullshit, they're not honest. They disguise themselves as science to undermine science. And I'm like, which ones do I fear the most? An organized religious movement that disguises itself as science in order to undermine and ultimately all undervalue science. And that's what worries me more than guys like Ken Ham. That's my little rant on Ken Ham. And was it good?
I liked it. as a funny aside, watching television down in the States, Ben Stein is making a lot of money as the spokesperson for freescore.com, which is like, you've heard about freecreditreport.com, right?
It's all fucking bullshit.
It is bullshit. You go there and you don't get a free credit report. You get a free credit report after you pay money, so for that quote unquote free one. So it's a total fucking scam. I mean, obviously they do give you your credit report after you pay, but the whole concept of it is a complete lie. They in the commercial label him as an economist. The teacher from the Wonder Years and from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know how that. Well,
actually, he is a professional economist. No, he is. I don't want to take that away from him. He's not a good one. He's a neocon moron. He wasn't an actor before. You know, he was an economist before. The only reason they hired him in the beginning was just because he was notorious for having a monotone voice.
Exactly.
And in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he gets a job.
This is the funny thing about Ben Stein is that dumb people associate him with the intelligentsia. They say, oh, it's that really hilariously boring guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and the Wonder Years. So he must know what he's talking about because he's so boring.
Well, he's not an uneducated man. He's not an uneducated man. That's why he had that show, Win Ben Stein's Money. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like one of those, remember that really evangelical guy who was a trivia whiz? You know, you don't remember that? He dominated Jeopardy for fucking, I think it was something like 8 months, probably to the point where I think Alex Trebek wanted to strangle him, but he was just an unstoppable trivia machine. Mm-hmm. And he was like this, evangelical, super conservative guy that really never really got exposed to any, let's just say, fun. Let's just put that out there. But, you know, at the same time, he could be a trivia whiz. It's possible to really be able to have a lot of facts in your head, but to not put them together in a cohesive, intelligent manner.
Hey,
and this is what Ben Stein is all about.
We're all in agreement that you can be both extremely smart about a lot of stuff and extremely stupid about others. I mean, we all fit that. And that's, again, it goes back to that whole purity test where you can't completely dismiss somebody. Because, I mean, I like Ben Stein on his game show, and the truth of the matter is I don't hate the guy, even though it was, I mean, we went and saw that that Ben Stein
abortion
movie
of a movie. Yeah, we saw that.
It was painful. I don't hate the man, but the guy has some horrible fucking ideas, and he is a pawn of so many negative organizations that it's just not funny.
I just think that in situations like that, you really have to understand that there are motivations behind the actions of guys like Ben Stein and William Dembski and other people at, like, say, the Creation Research Institute, which is just absolute, or the Discovery Institute, excuse me, which is just these people see that at the end of the day, evolutionary theory undermines their religious values. And I know that there's a lot of moderates out there that constantly tell you that there really is no there's no interplay, there's no conflict between their religious beliefs and evolution. But that's because they really haven't thought about it. That's because they haven't really understood the implication of evolution, of realizing that you are not for, you know, like, there's no impetus, there's no direction, there's no reason why it should be you other than a fucking fig. There's absolutely nothing to assume that there's anything special about you. You are just another ape. That is it. You know, you may have some unusual things about you, but what species isn't unusual? And what species that's alive today isn't just as evolved as you? A fucking bee is as evolved as you are. It has also been the product of roughly 3.5 billion years of evolution. Stop feeling so fucking special.
Plus,
I'm sure
bees,
that bee would probably...
Bees do a lot more good for planet Earth than humans do, that's for sure.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's even estimated that if bees died, that sort of like so much, it would spell disaster for entire ecosystems.
You know, being down in the South, I just want to point one thing out, and I don't know the scientific merit of this. This might be a Fox News style.
Probably has zero.
Fox News style. It's warm today, or it's cold today, so global warming doesn't exist things. But I'm down in the States, and let me tell you what. Everything is covered in pollen on a windy fucking day. If I go out onto the deck, I have to wipe that table down because it's got like a good centimeter of pollen dust all over it. So just as far as everything dying if bees go away, I'm like, that seems to me like it might be one of those scientific.
Yeah, dude, if 40%. No, you're an idiot. So I just want to put that out there. You're just a moron. Just a moron. That's cool. Everybody, don't worry about it. He doesn't know anything. He saw some pollen on the table and assumed that there's no bee problem here.
I'm not saying that there's not a bee problem. I'm just saying it's, oh my God, this is a global warming type argument.
It is a bit global warming, yeah. I just want to put that out there.
Anyways,
you're using an anecdotal sort of, I'm not even entirely sure how pollen on your table would make
pollen
it,
everywhere, dude. Pollen everywhere. Everything is coated in pollen down here. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are different ways that
everything is covered in plant sperm, dude.
Plants. I know, but those are specific types of plants. Not every plant engages in the same strategy, but you have to understand that the loss of a certain percentage of species that depend on what bees do would create a chain reaction, doofus.
Yeah, no,
this is the
problem. I recognize that. I brought it up. I was just saying, there's pollen everywhere down here. I'm covered in plant juice.
You're just not used to it, I think. You know, you're in a more fertile area. There's more heat. There's more energy. Therefore, there's just probably more plant life. Dude, in the Appalachians area where we are, there's not a lot that goes on. All right? I mean, it's still like half coniferous fucking trees, man. So it's only a fraction of what they have. They don't have these bullshit, coniferous trees over there.
Yeah, no.
With their pine cones.
Everything up in Canada is dead and brown. Everything down here is so fertile and green.
Bastards. Those bastards. Okay, you know what? I think that we'll wrap up the show with that. So I'd like to thank everybody who listens to the podcast. Thanks for being a contributor.
And I'd like to apologize for being totally wrong about that bee thing. I just wanted to tell that pollen story, you know what I mean?
I understand. Look, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you're right. But those are not two necessarily equal things. I just want to put that out there again. It's not 50-50 necessarily.
No.
But you have to, even I admit a certain margin of error. Maybe I'm right. I'm wrong. But it seems so far that everyone's saying that bee loss is a catastrophe waiting to happen, like some kind of horrible chain reaction that we may not be able to, compensate for. But let's hope that we don't have a catastrophic environmental collapse and that life will go on as normal and you can continue to contribute to the good atheist and we don't have to end up dying as cannibals.
And hey, even religious people agree, don't worry about it, science will save us. If it happens, we'll rely on science.
Exactly. When push comes to shove. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.